Hi everyone, it's good to see you all. Before I say very much more, I'm going to invite someone to come and help me. Olivia, where's Olivia? Olivia's going to come and help read the Bible for us this morning. And our reading today comes from a letter that was written by someone called Paul. It's a letter called The Letter to the Colossians, and you can find our reading on page 1182, and it's verses 9 to 14. Of Colossians chapter 1. It's going to be up on the screen. And Olivia's going to read that for us. Thanks, Olivia.
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As we pray this in order that you may live a worthy life of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Thank you very much. That's really helpful. Need all the help I can get, really, on a morning like today. So, here we go. Our question this morning is, how does God guide me? It's a big question, and it makes me think about how I make decisions. When I have to make a choice, whether it's a really big decision about where I'm going to live, or what I'm going to do, or who I'm going to be, or whether it's a small decision. We all make decisions in different ways. Now, I had to come to church really early this morning, so I haven't had much of a breakfast. So I brought a packed second breakfast, some delicious celebrations. Now, celebrations, as we all know, you get all the different varieties: Malteser, Bounty, Snickers, Milky Way, etc. But how do you make up your mind which one you're going to eat? Now, I think some of you will be instinctive. You will barely think at all. Your hand will race into the basket and you will pull out, if you've got any sense at all, a Malteser. Okay? Am I right? Now, some of you, however, aren't like that. You're much more careful and cautious. You'll take your time to think it through and you'll rank them in order. So you have Malteser first, then Galaxy, then Mars. But then you might think, no one else like Bounties, so there'll probably be some left at the end, so I can leave them to the side. You're a careful thinker when you make decisions. Some of you will have little rules in your head, like, I always take the one closest to me. Does anyone do that? Or some of you won't even make the decision by yourself. You'll sit and talk to the person next to you. Which one do you think's best? Maltesers, oh great, brilliant. Okay, and some of you might even just, you won't even look. You just pick one. It's like flipping a coin. It doesn't matter to you. And some of you will be so slow to make decisions that you won't have any decision to make. You'll just be left with the Bounty at the end. Okay? Now, the truth is, I went to the dentist last week and the week before, so I probably shouldn't eat these. So I'm going to give these to Rachel, and she's going to see if anyone else would like to eat one, maybe in the first couple of rows. Anyway, we all make decisions. Some of them are small decisions. Some of them are big decisions. But the truth is, we want to make good decisions. We want to make the best possible decision. And we're faced with so many decisions to make, so many choices. Where am I going to live? How am I going to live? Where am I going to work? Am I going to work? How hard am I going to work? What subjects should I pick at school or university? Choose a starter, choose a main, choose a dessert. Do you want curly fries on the side? Choose your church service, 9:30, 11, 6:30, messy church. Choose to spend your money or save your money. Choose what you're going to do today. Choose what you're going to do tomorrow. Choose what you're going to do next week, the next year. Do what the rest of your life. All these choices. And there is a sense that you maybe win or lose depending on how you choose. But sometimes we find that we can't make the decision, or the decision makes us just freeze because we're not sure what to do. And we ask ourselves, should I follow my heart? Should I follow my head? Should I follow the feeling in my guts? Do I have to make this decision by myself? Or do I get the advice from someone else? And there can be times that we just think we're not sure what direction we're going in. We feel lost or we feel stuck. And we really, really want to make a good decision. We want to make a wise decision. And sometimes it feels like we need a guide, a reliable guide, in the midst of all the complicated decisions we're being asked to make. Someone who will keep us from making bad decisions. And someone who will help us to make good decisions. And if you follow Jesus, you want to make decisions that will help you to be all that Jesus wants you to be. And that's not to say if you follow Jesus, there won't be times that you're not sure, because there will be. And there won't be times where you don't feel confused, because sometimes you might feel confused. You might even feel discouraged and apprehensive. But if you're a Christian, if you follow Jesus, you know that decisions, big decisions that make us feel a bit worried and concerned, are decisions that we don't face by ourselves, because we have a guide. God is our guide. Now, Olivia read to us, she read beautifully from this letter written by Paul to a church, not to this church, but to a church in a place called Colossae. And Paul really wants to help this church to make good decisions, even though they face distractions, even though they face dangers, even though they face things that discourage them. Paul wants them to make good decisions, and he wants them to know and to ask for God's help to make the best decisions. And so he tells the Colossians, he tells these people in church in a faraway place, what his prayer is for them. So let me read again one verse that was read earlier. Verse 9, Paul says this, "We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you right up with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Paul wants these people who follow Jesus to be filled to the brim with knowledge of who God is and what God wants for their lives. Because Paul wants these people, whatever decision they make, to make a decision in the way that God would want them to make that decision. He wants them to grow up into men and women who are shaped by God's plans and God's purposes and God's promises for their lives. Now, imagine an expert coach. Could be football, could be rugby. They don't want their players, when they get the ball, to then just stop what they're doing and look at the coach to find out what they should be doing with the ball. Should they pass it? Should they run with it? No, the top coach spends lots of time training his players and driving home his knowledge or her experience and vision for how the game should be played, so that the players, when they're on the pitch, they just do it instinctively. They just know what to do because they've been guided. They've been filled with this knowledge from the coach. And that's kind of like what Paul is asking for these followers of Jesus. He wants them to be so full of knowing about God and how God likes things to happen that they just do it in the whole of their lives. Let's see what he says in the next two verses. This is how Paul sees a life that is guided by God. He says this, "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father." We've got a life that's worthy, a life that is fruitful. Good things grow out of this life, a life that is pleasing to God, a life where we know God, where we serve God with power and perseverance and patience and thanksgiving. And this picture of a life that's guided by God, I think, is pretty good. It's really attractive, especially when we compare it to a life that is caught up in all these decisions, that's discouraged and confused and frustrated. And with this in mind, we come back to our question for this morning. How does God guide us? How does he do it? How does God guide us? And I think we need at the start to recognize that there are kind of two different sorts of guidance. And I wonder if any of you have a sat-nav in your car or on your phone, or you've seen someone use one of these. And a sat-nav is good for one kind of guidance and totally rubbish at the other. It tells you how to get where you're going. It gives you all the directions. It says, you know, turn left here, take the first exit at the roundabout, it's on your left, and that's great. But it doesn't tell you where you want to go in the first place. You have to decide that. You have to type it in. I want to go to the zoo. I want to go to church. I want to go to school. I want to go home. But if all you knew is you wanted to get to the zoo, but you had no idea how to get there, that wouldn't be much use either. That's where the sat-nav is really useful. And I think God offers us both kinds of guidance. He tells us where we're going, and he helps us get there. Now, the starting point for the where are we going question is the Bible. The Bible unfolds guidance that applies to all followers of Jesus, every Christian from the youngest to the oldest, in all times and all places. And it does that by telling us, in the midst of all the confusion, very clearly who we are. And it tells us who God is. And it tells us why we feel so far away from God and why we fall out with other people. And it tells us how God in Jesus brings us closer to God and brings us closer back to other people. And it tells us that when we follow Jesus, we're part of a family. And it tells us if we look at the family right now, we'll see some rough edges, we'll see some baggage and some history, but it tells us that God isn't finished with this family. He is going to make each one of us who follows Jesus into someone who is glorious and who brings glory to God forever. That's where we're going, and it's a good place to be heading. In another letter, Paul says something quite extraordinary, having reminded the followers of Jesus that what Jesus has done has made them alive and has set them free. He says this, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Like someone who's trying to write a beautiful poem, who chooses each word very carefully, so each line is just right, God has made you with care and attention and deliberately, because God has good things for you to do, good works that he has prepared in advance. And this is true for each one of us, whether we're young or we're old, whether we have loads of energy and it's really hard to sit still in church, or whether we're feeling absolutely exhausted. God has good works for us to do. Now, that's where we're going. We're going to do good works for God, and God is going to make us glorious so that we can give glory to him. But maybe you're thinking, that sounds great over there, but I need help in the here and now. I need guidance for my life right now. I'm interested in my story and what God has prepared for me to do. And where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to do it? And how long am I supposed to do it for? How does God guide me in the specifics? And maybe you have a question about where you should be living. Or maybe you have a question because there's something at school or at work or in your family and you think, I just don't know what to do with this situation. And we want to know how we can hear what God says to us here and now, how God can guide us to make good decisions. And I'm going to offer 5 steps, okay? And this, some of these questions are really difficult, and it will feel like you haven't got the answer even at the end of this, but 5 steps that God gives to help us, to guide us to make good decisions. So it'd be really helpful if I could have about 5 people come up to the front. 5 people wanting to help. One, let's have a flip. It doesn't matter what age you are. What you're being asked to do is very simple. It involves holding things. Oh, John, we've got another one at the back. That's wonderful. Anyone else? Three more coming up. Yeah, you come up as well. Fiona's coming up. Anyone else? Upstairs, brilliant. If you could come down, that would be great. Look, that shows that I've been focused too much on downstairs. Upstairs had their hands firmly in the air. So five steps. Okay, so if you could stand in a line, that would be great. Okay, and our fifth helper's on its way. Oh, a bit of conflict, right. In fact, we'll start at this side, will we? Because you're closest to me, Fiona. Yes. Okay. So the first step, how does God guide us? Well, first of all, we need to let God have the first word. So if you could hold the Bible, that would be wonderful. And this is tricky, because as I said with the celebrations, we all have our own way of making decisions. Some of us just go for it. Some of us are careful and slow. Some of us wait for ages. Some of us ask other people's help and ideas first. But God tells us his best guidance comes to us in his word. So we need to let him have the first say when we're making a decision. There's a wonderful verse where Jesus is talking about all the things that we worry about. Food, where we're going to live, all this kind of stuff. And he says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So in any decision, any big decision, we need to start with, well, Fiona, with the Bible. We need to start with God's way of seeing things, doing things, and prioritizing things. And we've got to ask ourselves, do we know what God asks of us? Do we know what God tells us to do? And do we know where God says, you're free to make your own decision? And if something else gets the first place, our exam results, our work, our family, well, you're not going to be the person that follows God's leading, because the thing you'll be following is your job or your money or your dreams. But we need to let God have the first word, because he promises security and he promises us hope, and it's really exciting. The second thing, we need to talk to God. Now, John, I've got for you my new iPhone to help think about talking to God, right? Do you want to get that? Yep. It's pretty good. In fact, John, you'll be familiar with this technology. Now, prayer isn't exactly the same as speaking on the phone, but we are invited to talk to God in all the decisions that we make. And we can pray like Paul did, that we get filled up with God's knowledge through wisdom and understanding. And we can also pray about the specific things. We can pray about the choices we're having to make about our subjects, the choices about where we live when we retire, how we spend our money. We can pray to God with the things that just seem messy, where we seem stuck. And we can just be honest and we can say, this is really hurting me, or I know I've made a mistake here and I need your help to know what to do next. So we can talk to God. The next one, we can talk to others. We can find wisdom and help from other people. So this is quite good. I need someone who's older than you to come and help you. So I wonder if there's anyone older than you in the front row, perhaps. So Rachel, she's going to come and stand next to you. And God says, I don't just guide you by saying things just to you. I say things to the whole family of people who follow God. And we can learn from each other, and we can pray for each other, and we can find guidance from other people. So God gets the first word, and then we can speak to God, and then we can find help from other people in God's family. Now, the next thing we have to do is pretty tricky. Sometimes God makes us wait. We've got a big decision. We don't know which way to go, and we just have to wait. So I've got some things for you to hold just to show this. So here's a watch. It actually doesn't work. That's a bit of a shame. But if you hold that, patience. You might have to wait for minutes. You might have to wait for hours. Or here's my diary for the next year. You might have to wait a whole year for an answer to the decision you're trying to make. And patience is a bit like a muscle. I don't have big muscles because I don't use them very much. But patience, to get big patience, you really have to be stretched like a muscle. And sometimes to make us grow patience, God makes us wait. And that can be really difficult. But it is actually part of how God guides us. He makes us wait. So he gets the first word, we speak to him, we speak to others, and we have to wait. And last of all, now this might seem like I'm repeating myself, we have to give God the last word as well. So you can have a Bible as well. There we go. We've got the full set of how God gets us to where we want to be. God's word is true, it's life-giving, and it's going to shape you into the kind of person who makes wise decisions. And we need God's help at each stage. Let me read one more wonderful verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Let things go God's way, and he'll make your paths straight. You guys have done a wonderful job, so you can all sit down now. That's fantastic. So I want you to remember, next time you see a sat-nav, that God tells us where we're going, it's somewhere glorious, and he helps us get where we need to be. God guides us by speaking to us, by letting us speak to him, by speaking to us through other people, by making us wait. And God is the most wonderful guide, and we praise him for that. Amen.